The sermon for today reflects mainly upon Matthew chapter 11, the gospel reading. I reread verse 25 to start. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When a new section starts in Scripture, in the Gospels, and then that day, the following days, words like that, then there's something being indicated there, some time element, some connection to what has gone before, or concluding what has gone before. And in the first words of verse 25, at that time, well, what had been happening at that time that he's referring to? Well, at that time, nothing seemed to be going right. If we look in the earlier verses of that chapter, John the Baptist, the baptizer, is in prison. And we know that Jesus called him the great prophet. He's of the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, but he's in prison. And also in these verses right before, at that time, John had sent his disciples to go and ask Jesus, "Are you the one to come, or should we look for another?" And it's debated what that question is about. Was John pointing them, "I'm in prison now, they should follow Jesus, so let them go see Jesus"? Some commentators say John was wavering. It's not sure, but we know his words, "Go and ask Jesus." And Jesus tells his disciples, "Go in back and tell John what you see. The poor are preached to. The sick are healed. See these miracles I'm doing. Show him." And Jesus says, and all this is going on, and yet people are not believing. In fact, Jesus says, they are saying that John has a demon, and I, Jesus, I'm a drunkard. The Son of Man is a drunkard. Maybe referring back to him making wine for the wedding. So Jesus is saying, John's in prison and people have not respected John. And then he goes on in the following verses and he says, "Woes upon the towns of Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum." And he says, "Tyre and Sidon and Sodom would have repented if they would have seen the miracles and the teachings that you have seen, they would have repented." So he was doing his miracles, he was teaching, and yet whole towns were rejecting him and saying he's a drunkard or saying he's demonic and John was a demonic and all these things. So it seemed like nothing was going right. But at that time, then Jesus declares, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children." So we think about, okay, what is Jesus talking about here in his prayer that's recorded by Matthew? Well, the people who aren't getting the gospel are not understanding and believing in Jesus. He calls them the wise and the understanding, those in a worldly wisdom. But the ones that God is revealing Jesus to, and they have faith, are those like little children, the ones who know they need God and receive God. It's interesting, I was thinking about this passage, and it's interesting to me how the little children, and that word also can be translated infant. It's actually infant, little children. And a baby just cries. When the baby can't help himself, it just cries. And then as the baby grows a little bit, it gets to that age to it only wants mom or dad, sometimes only mom for a while. The baby comes to know who is taking care of it. And anybody else, especially sometimes with some babies, they hear another man's voice, not their father's voice, but they become scared. And as they are even a toddler, sometimes they just cling on to mom, or mom has to set them aside and they cry. And that kind of human behavior, and that from child to child, it's a little bit different. But generally, that kind of human behavior, what are we as infants, as little children? We know we need God. We know we need Jesus, and we're in trouble if we don't have him. And if somebody else's voice comes, it's a little bit scary, and it should be, because that's not our Heavenly Father. If another spiritual power comes and is threatening our lives, we cling to our Father, for he is the one who gives us safety. And those thoughts came to my mind, especially some children, they're like that. They just cling to their parents, and they know that's who's taking care of them. And you can say, as I have in there, children are, in a mature adult sense, are those who are relying on God and not themselves. We know as Christians we're relying on God, we need him. If I look into myself, I'll see I'm weak. Sometimes I do things okay, but oftentimes not. And I know I need somebody to take care of me. I know I need somebody for wisdom or for power or for healing, for comfort. I know I need God. I know I need my Heavenly Father. Those things are good to see in the text, what Jesus is saying, but also I see there the term that he has revealed these things to the little children. And then also in verse 27, to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. This is the same word as it is the word apocalypse, not the movie Apocalypse Now, but the revelation, the apocalypse, the revelation given to John. John sees and has this gift of seeing heaven, of seeing the history of the church, of seeing the Lamb being coronated and taking up and being worthy to open the scrolls of the history of the church. And John is blessed to see all these visions. And John is blessed to see the final outcome of Jesus returning in glory and power and a glimpse of life everlasting into eternity. That's the same word, this revelation given to John is the same word that is given here, that it's revealed. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, that you have revealed them to little children. And Jesus says that he will reveal his Father to whomever he chooses. It is a real understanding and confidence and something you cannot think of by yourself. The child, when it is first born, does not know who the mother is. The child becomes knowing of the mother. The child knows more and more. It's revealed to the child. The child then comes to know, this is my mother, this is my father, and don't give me another person, and don't take me away. This is the one I want to cling to. So our Heavenly Father reveals himself to us so that we know we can cling to him, that he is safety and comfort and feeding, and that he gives us wisdom and guidance and other powers. No, don't give me those. Keep me away from those. Keep me close to my Father in heaven. And this is who Jesus reveals to us, his Father in heaven. And I say it almost every sermon, sorry if I do, but Jesus said, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven. He's revealing who God is to us, our Heavenly Father. So this is his work. So Jesus says, it looks like it's going wrong. I pronounce these woes on these towns and villages, and yet, Heavenly Father, you're not hidden to the little children that need you, that you call. You reveal yourself to them. According to how the world sees things and measures things, Jesus should have had all kinds of support and accolades from these towns and villages, but so often they were rejecting him. But Jesus knew that God was doing his work, and he thanked God for that. In Peter's letter, he explains to the Christians to whom he writes that since they are God's chosen people, they're special, they're set aside. And he has a number of terms here that are they're well known, and I just repeat them and say something about them. He says they are a chosen race. Now, just think of that word, chosen. They didn't choose themselves. They have been chosen by God. And they didn't do it because of their good works. They didn't do it because of their way they were born. They didn't do it because of the type of people they are. But they were chosen. God chose them. And he brings them together. He also calls them a royal priesthood. Now this he is saying to, as Peter writes, men, women, and children, boys and girls. And he calls them all a priesthood. Sometimes we call it the priesthood of all believers. And the priests, he's referring to this priesthood of the Old Testament, which were just one tribe, but of the 12 tribes of Israel. But now, Peter says, it's all of you. And what the priests did in the Old Testament, there were three main things they did. They worshiped God and all the sacrifices and so forth. They taught the word of God and they prayed. They interceded. This is the main work of the priests, which comes forwards to us. We worship God, we teach his word, and we pray for people. We intercede. That is the work of the royal priesthood. Man or woman, boy or girl. If you, I think sometimes that when the children cry, before they're really talking much, they're growing up a little bit, but they don't talk very well so far, so much yet. There are prayers there. There are praises there that Christian child is giving, even the little ones. Do you remember when Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and the children were crying aloud and the Pharisees complained to Jesus, do you hear what they're saying? And Jesus quotes Psalm 8, says, yes, and out of the lips of children, even the word in the Hebrew is, out of the lips of infants you receive praise. And Jesus said, if these would not cry out, the stones themselves would cry out. If we'd stop the children from singing, the stones will start singing. So the faith, the joy, the praise comes from the whole priesthood of God's people. All ages and every positions. Peter calls them a holy nation. The word holy and the root of it means to be set apart, special. That's how we often say it. You're special. You're set apart for God's purposes. You're a nation of people set apart for God's purposes. And you are God's possession. You don't belong to the devil. You don't belong to the world. You belong to God. So frequently, it comes to mind, and so your pastor has to say it. It comes to mind that when Adam and Eve sinned, I have said before, God did say to the devil, okay, but they are not your people. There will be enmity between the woman and you, between her seed and your seed. She's not for you, and I won't let her be for you. There's enmity and fighting between you. They don't belong to you, devil. They belong to me. And from her seed will come one who will crush your head. Yeah, you'll bite his heel, but he will crush your head. From the very beginning, God said, "You, these people are mine. Even as sinners, I call them to be mine." Right from the beginning, Genesis chapter 3, all the way now, you are God's possession. And Peter tells that to his readers. And so what do these people do? They declare, they proclaim his excellencies, how much God has done for them and their life and their salvation. It says, once you were in darkness, now you're in God's marvelous light. Think on this. As there is craziness and evil that we see around us every day, if a person is not Christian, it is clear in Scripture they're in darkness. There's chaos and confusion because there is chaos and confusion. It's darkness unless God calls us and gives us faith in Christ. So we see this going on around us, and it encroaches in our lives too. But that is what it is without God. With God, we have his light. So it doesn't mean that we're little children and that God gives us nothing to do, because little children don't have to do anything. They just have to sit and get everything. No, we're little children. But we're with mature tasks and adult tasks for God gives us to do. This is our believer's work, that we call out his name, that we teach others, that we pray for others, that we declare and proclaim his excellencies in front of others, that we declare that in Jesus Christ we have true light and true wisdom and true understanding of life into eternity. The world does not have that. The world does not know that. That's what God calls us to proclaim. As he has given to us, so also we proclaim to others. So little children, we're little in faith in that we cling to God, but he calls us to do many things. He calls us to serve one another and to praise him. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks that you have made us your believing children, and that you give us great faith. Faith to know that you are the light, and that in your Son, Jesus, we are forgiven, and that now you also call us to do many things to serve you and serve others. Help us to be confident in our salvation from you, and help us to be true and faithful in our service to you and to each other and in the world. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we take up these good words of the LWML pledge. We will stand for them, and then we remain standing for as we go into the prayers of Zion Lutheran Church. You're invited to stand. We speak these words of the LWML pledge.